Tango Tango Pop at 2095, December 25th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from vacation once again. Today is Christmas Day. We've got another 70 degree day on tap today. It's supposed to get up to 71. Yesterday it was actually kind of windy, so it made it a little bit more difficult to really enjoy the 70 degree day, but it's looking like, at least from, you know, here at home, I haven't really checked, but I don't see things stirring around that much, so I think the wind may have died down somewhat. So I'm going to be going back over to my younger brother's house a little bit later, and you know, instead of eating at 2 like we did yesterday, we'll be eating at 5 p.m. So you know, right now it's skip about 5 minutes till 1, so I've got some time yet before I leave. I'll probably leave here probably around 3:30, 3:45, something like that. So, anyway, yesterday the traffic wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. The traffic had actually been more intense on prior days, so I don't know how much traffic. I don't usually on the holiday, the traffic really usually isn't as bad. So I don't, you know, there's going to be some traffic, but it's not going to be as intense, I don't think, because, you know, obviously most of the stores are closed, so. But anyway, go over there and then eat, and then be back later this evening, and so, you know, kind of enjoy another nice day with family. So, what I wanted to talk about today, you know, there's this line in the Bible. Let's see here. There's this line in the Bible: man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. And it's probably rough. I don't know if that's an exact quote, but it's, if not, it's kind of roughly roughly what it says. And I've often wondered, well, what does that really mean? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. What could that possibly mean? And, you know, people, I've heard different people talk about that, and typically they sort of put it into nebulous terms, as far as, you know, they'll kind of now, how can I say that? Kind of put it in, you know, sort of in the terms of, well, let's say you go to church and you have all this worship, whatever, you know, and there are varying degrees of that, you know, what people think worship is. And, you know, what is it? What's worship? What does it mean to worship? You know, is it? Does it mean jumping around and singing songs and what have you? Is that what it means? I think that at the base, it's you're worshiping kind of whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're really, you know. We as human beings have a point of awareness, and so you're actually, whatever you give your point of awareness to, you're actually worshiping. Ever think of it that way? Because I think that's a, you know, it's one thing to say, well, we're going to sing songs and, you know, and what have you. But what does it really mean to worship? And it really means, you know, what are you giving your attention to? It's not just when you go to, let's say you go to church or whatever and you... You know, do whatever they do in the, you know, in the various churches. Is that worship? I guess that's what they call it. But in reality, you're actually worshiping whatever you give your attention to, whatever your point of awareness, whatever you're giving your attention to. Now, but what does it mean? Man does not live by bread alone. Now, one of the ways that you could sort of take that would be, you know, what, you know, there's a different ways people could think of that, you know, like, well, you're living in a different energy or whatever. And yeah, I can kind of see that. What does that mean to kind of live in a sort of a different energy state, or, you know, get your energy from the right place? Yeah, I can kind of see that. But what else could it mean? I should have made a list. I didn't realize I was, you know, I knew I was going to generally talk about this, but invariably whenever I start talking, then I kind of end up going in different directions than what I'd anticipated. And that's the beautiful part about talking, you know, and thinking out loud. So, you know, but what does that mean? And I was thinking about this kind of in conjunction with what I've been talking about, you know, reunifying with conscience. Another way you could put this, we need some sort of meaning. Man does not live by bread alone. You know, we eat and we sleep and, you know, all the things that we do, but what, we need some kind of meaning. We have to have meaning. You know, it's kind of like a, you think of a dog, for example. They eat and they sleep and they... do whatever the dogs do, but, the dogs, you know, they're not really, when it comes down to it, you know, they don't have any meaning. You know, what's the meaning of their existence? They don't think about these things. You know, kind of, you know, pick any kind of a creature that has some form of awareness other than human beings, they're not looking for meaning. A dog or a cat or a fish or a bird or a bear, anything you can name, they're not thinking about what is meaningful. They have no need of seeking meaning. They're seeking food, they're seeking water, they're seeking shelter. You know, what we share with them, we have instincts, really strong instincts for, water. food. That's one thing we all share. Any creature shares. But meaning, the need for meaning, the instinct for meaning is something that is really only present in human beings. And so that's one of the things you could say, well, man does not live by bread alone. We need meaning. Got to have some meaning, because otherwise, you know, we come into this world. We're here for, on, you know, like a universal scale, we're here for just, you know, kind of a split second. If you look at the scale of the universe, time-wise, we're not here for very long. And we know, furthermore, we know as human beings, we know we're going to die. So, kind of then, what is the point of our existence? Is it, you know, while we're here, is it just to eat and sleep and watch Netflix and, you know, grab the gusto, like a lot of people think, you know, like the old beer commercial? Grab the gusto. What good is that meaning? You know, what does it mean if you eat your candy bar? Is that meaning? You know, are those things meaningful? In the grand scheme of things, probably not. There's not much there. So again, we as human beings must, if we're going to find meaning, we must be able to unify, make friends with our conscience. What we know of as conscience, whatever that is, it's kind of a mysterious thing. Why do we have a conscience? Does your dog have a conscience? You know, people will say, well, yeah, he knows when he did wrong or whatever. Yeah, but how do you know that? You know, the dogs in particular are really good at reading human faces, human emotions. And, you know, the strong argument could be made that the dog is very manipulative. They're very clever at manipulating the humans into doing what they want them to. They develop different behaviors that are effective. Babies kind of do the same thing with their parents. In fact, they come kind of prepackaged with some of those, you know, like a baby cries and certain facial expressions. Parents are very, particularly mothers, are very responsive to that. So, human beings need meaning. But I believe that it's really impossible to find substantial meaning, as I say, and still be at odds with your conscience. You have to be, you know, come in tune with your conscience. Be friends with your conscience. Don't run away from your conscience. That's a terrible mistake. So, I believe that if your conscience, if you're friends with your conscience, if you're sort of unified with your conscience, then I believe that it becomes possible for your conscience to sort of guide you towards meaning. And it's not simply one thing, one size fits all. It's going to be different for different individuals. So that is I think a really good way of looking at it. Man, what does it mean? Man does not live by bread alone. We need meaning. But in order to be able to have the opportunity to be guided towards meaning, we must be friends with our conscience. We must be unified with our conscience. So, you know, but the question is, you know, kind of, how do you get there? Now, in yesterday's podcast, I was kind of talking about the meditation, and it's on my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com. And there are about four MP3 files there that will teach you how to meditate. It's a very simple technique that is very useful in learning how to direct your point of awareness, because you know, kind of circling back, what we give our attention to, what we focus on, whether it's, you know, we're voluntarily focusing on something or involuntarily focusing on something, whatever it is that we give our attention to, we worship. We're actually worshiping it, whether you realize that or not. What we give our attention to, we're worshiping. And, you know, if you, you know, the idea is you want to give up resentment. And in order to be able to reunify with your conscience, you have to give up resentment. I talked about that fairly extensively in yesterday's podcast. So, have to be able to give up resentment. Resentment separates us from who we could be. So it's important to learn, you know, how to focus your attention, how to come out of your thoughts. It's useful to practice that. And if you can learn to practice that, then what ends up happening is that you can then naturally end up, instead of running away from your conscience, actually focusing your attention on it. And that is actual worship. You're worshiping, then you're worshiping whatever it is that is conscience, or whatever it is that's behind conscience. And I believe, as I've said many times, I believe that conscience is God talking to us very silently, without words. Conscience is God talking to us. And of course, we just, you know, it's easy just to cast that aside and think, well, you know, how could that be? It's just, this nasty, guilty conscience. Somehow you think society programmed it in you, or your parents did it, or somebody did it. Want to blame somebody for, you know, how'd you end up with this conscience? How'd you end up with the conscience? It's because it, you know, no one programmed it. And I think it is possible, you know, you can kind of end up with a false conscience. But that's something different. So, but we need to be able to learn how to come out of thought, come out of our thoughts, come out, you know, come out of this kind of endless cycle of thinking, and come back to, you know, be able to live in the moment. To be able to direct our attention to the moment that is right now. You know, the now moment. The moment right now is very, very calm. If you can actually learn to experience that, the moment right now, not something in the future, not something in the past, the moment right now is a very calm moment. It's a calming moment. And that's where it, you know, pulled out of your thoughts. Point of awareness is kind of out of your thoughts. That's where your creator is. That's where conscience is. And that's where you can begin to find guidance towards meaning. And, you know, why wouldn't you do that? You know, I've been searching for meaning for my entire life. But it, you know, it's not, there's a lot of places where it's just not to be found. You know, look here, look there, look, you know, all over the place. It's just not to be found. And, but, excuse me, at the same time, it is actually really useful to figure out where it isn't. I believe that's, part of the reason we're here as human beings is to, kind of figure out, as conscious creatures, creatures coming into consciousness, we're here to figure out where it's wrong. You know what? You know, it's useful to be able to know what doesn't work, because that's actually how we learn most things, is through making mistakes. Making mistakes is actually quite useful. It's actually very useful to make mistakes, because otherwise, how can you learn? That's, you know, mistakes are the most effective way of learning. And once you've made a mistake, then it becomes possible to begin to recognize patterns, and then you know what to avoid. So I think that that's why we're kind of created the way we have been, sort of ushered into consciousness as conscious creatures, we are able to kind of come into the world. It's kind of, it can be kind of a harsh teacher sometimes. Make the mistakes, and then learn from them. So, but, you know, the man does not live by bread alone. It's really useful to understand what that actually means. We have to have meaning. We have an instinct for meaning that other creatures don't have. And it's, I find it really useful to actually understand these things, be able to put, you know, put them into words as best I can. Because, you know, a lot of the things I say, you probably already know, but, you know, maybe you haven't heard somebody that actually said it before. And a lot of the things that I realize all of a sudden, you know, I'll think, well, I knew that, but I've thought that before, but I just didn't quite see it in that way. So, but, you know, it really is important for us as human beings, not only children, but adult human beings, it's useful for us to know that we have an instinct for meaning, and therefore, you know, if you have kids, which I don't, I always like to disarm myself. I don't have any kids. But, you know, if you've got kids, it's up to you as a parent to guide your children towards meaning. It's up to you as a parent to do that. And it's also, you know, even if you're an adult, as an adult, the things that you would apply to a child, you can kind of apply to yourself. You know, it's like, you know, I talked about a few podcasts ago, one of the Jordan Peterson the 12 rules for life is, you know, don't let your kids do anything that would cause you to dislike them. Well, you know, you could apply that to yourself. Don't do things yourself that cause you to dislike yourself. You know, and then I'd added to that, don't let your kids do anything that will trip them up on the, you know, finding a path towards meaning. Well, you can say that, you can apply that to yourself. Don't do anything that would prevent you from finding meaning. And of course, we do that all the time. It's called distraction. You know, meaning is always lurking. We're always looking, you know, there's some part of us as human beings, there's always, we have this instinct for meaning, and so we're always looking, and, but then, you know, it's like there's two of us in our head, you know, because then you have this wrong side of the ego that kind of wants to know itself as God, and of course we do that through resentment, but it wants to know itself as God, and it trying to separate itself from the other part that's looking for meaning. It's trying to divorce itself from any sort of real meaning. And so the real meaning is always, you know, we're always looking for it, whether we realize it or not. So don't do anything that would prevent you from finding meaning. That's a mistake. It's a terrible mistake. What you're looking for, it's not necessarily the physical environment that's going to help you find meaning, but it's more of a mental environment. You could say it's more of a spiritual environment, but how do you find a more spiritual environment? Well, to be in the moment, direct your attention to the moment. Be in the moment, not in thoughts about the future, thoughts about the past, but actually kind of be in the moment with your point of attention or point of awareness. And that's actually a spiritual environment, if you think about it. I just now kind of realized that. But that probably is the ultimate spiritual environment, is to that you can place yourself in, that you can practice placing yourself in. So, anyway, how long have we been going? About 31 minutes and 52 seconds. So, if you've been watching the video, I've been kind of experimenting with this. I've got another camera here, and I've kind of, making rudimentary experiments, kind of switching scenes. Still in the process of learning the software, so, but I'm enjoying it, and I plan on continuing with it, and I guess even, and I'm not getting many views on YouTube with this at all, and I'm not really worried about that, whatever. I'm not looking for giant, numbers of views. And I was thinking about this morning, even if I get, just a few, like a handful of views, if those people are the ones that are interested in it, then it's great. But even if it's just, a handful of views, it's inspiring me to podcast, and with the audio podcast, because that's kind of primarily what I do. And that actually, the audio podcast does, get a lot more than a handful of listens. So if doing the video, even if I have no viewers, if doing the video and learning this software and playing with green screen and what have you kind of inspires me to podcast, then have at it. I'm going to have at it, because by doing this, I'm the primary beneficiary, or I feel like I'm, I really do benefit from thinking about these things and kind of are getting in front of the camera and in front of a microphone and sort of articulating them as, kind of in real time, thinking out loud, in other words. Because that what ends up happening is that I end up thinking about things in ways that I'd never thought of. I see things from a different angle. I don't think we're going to end the podcast just yet. I happen to remember that I had a voice file from Joel. So here is Joel. Let's see, so I need to, there we go. All right, sorry about that. I wasn't, kind of forgot about that. So here's Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel McLaughlin here. Just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I just had a thought here, and I was thinking about this, especially since I just was listening to a YouTube live stream about this subject. Like, we go Christmas shopping, we go to buy gifts for our loved ones. Like, days like today, even though they might be busy, I don't want to say people are generally in a pretty good mood, I would think. But then, come December 26th, Sunday, starts the return cycle, where, and I don't know if stores do what they used to do. I used to work retail, and occasionally I would work on the 26th, and, in those cases, I would be prepared for a busy day, because that's the day where if somebody has a gift and it didn't work out, they're going to return it and say it's the wrong size or they just didn't want it, whatever. You know, at least that's the way it used to be. Nowadays, I think the gift card reigns supreme, because that's pretty much what I did for all my Christmas shopping. But in any event, the tenor of the shoppers on Christmas, the day after Christmas, is generally a little bit more, I don't know, negative, I guess. You know, because I guess sometimes people are just frustrated, you know. They got this gift, they loved this gift because it came from a certain person, and that certain person didn't get the right size, or something like that, you know. Or there was a little problem with it, you know. Fortunately, our family, like I said, our family, the gift card kind of reigns supreme. That's kind of what we've been getting for our family. You know, it's more of, instead of exchanging gift cards. So it's just something I've been kind of dwelling upon, and just something I thought of. So, but tonight we'll probably go to dinner with my dad. I went to dinner a couple times with him the last few days. I came down ahead of time because I just wanted to have some extra time with my dad. And it was good. We had to replace his dishwasher leaked. And one day when I was here, he had an appliance repairman come and take a look at it. And what's wrong with it was the grommet that holds all the stuff in on the bottom of the dishwasher was leaking. So, once Dad had that looked at, the guy who was repairing it said, "Well, we can fix it. It'll be like $500. We gotta order the part." You know, of course, week of Christmas, not a really good time to have something like that down. So, Dad told him no, paid him his fee, and we went and we found a dishwasher at Lowe's, and we installed it. And that's something I didn't plan on doing, but I was really happy I ended up doing it with my dad, because I've got to spend time with him, just me and him, trying to get that installed in the counter for him. So we did a good job. We didn't get electrocuted. We didn't make water, well, too much water leak all over the floor. His shutoff valves are, you know, they're 20-something years old, so they need some work. But after we got everything hooked up, though, it wasn't too bad. So, all right, well, have a Merry Christmas, sir. Hopefully you have a good time off with your family, and take care.
All right, well, thank you, Joel. Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, that reminded me, your story about the leaking dishwasher grommet. The dishwasher that I actually still have, after, you know, this house has, I've had this house now for 26 years. I believe I got it in 94. 95 is when I, so 95, so we got 5, 15, 20, 21, so yep, 26 years, and the original dishwasher is still going strong. Now, of course, I've been, you know, there's been periods where it's been used more and then periods where it's been used less. The thing is pretty well, you know, it's a mechanical timer type thing, which that's actually what I prefer on most appliances. If it, you know, if you can get just something with a mechanical timer, and of course that was really common back in 1995. Although you probably, even in 1995, you probably did have some that had some sort of logic chip circuit in them. So, you know, the thing has worked, but not, I don't know, it was probably not long after I got the house, the dishwasher, you know, it's, it, you know, I came home and I tried to run it, and there, and all of a sudden there was water all over the floor. And turned out that the, you know, that rubber grommet in the bottom, some sort of a mouse or a rat had got in there and chewed it up. Made a hole in it. And of course that made a mess. And but I was able to recall, you know, that was, you know, still in the 90s. I was able to call an appliance repairman, and he came out and he saw what the problem was. It's a Whirlpool dishwasher. I don't even know if that's, I guess that's still a brand, maybe. I think that's what, you know, pretty sure it still is, but I, you know, as far as parts go, who knows? That may be more of a standard part. I don't know, but in any case, he didn't, you know, dishwashers then, and, you know, probably 95 were maybe $200-$300. You know, something like that. And it might have been a little more than that, but the repair wasn't that bad. I don't remember how much it was, maybe $25 for the rubber part, and then whatever, you know, his fee was for coming out here, and it was whatever it was worth it. And since then, the thing's been in, you know, I've been using it ever since, and it used it yesterday, actually, and it worked perfectly. So I guess really the only thing, that, yeah, you know, if you use the dishwasher right, the only thing that can really go wrong is that rubber grommet could fail. The as far as the dishwasher itself goes, the I guess the motor, and then there's a pump. Those could fail. But, you know, as long as you're using the thing properly, you're going to minimize the chance of failure, I would say. Not, you know, because sometimes people will, you know, put, don't really clean the food off of the dishes. Now, I don't believe in washing the dishes. Some people want to wash the dishes before they put them in the dishwasher. You don't need to do that. But you do need to knock off all the big crumbs, and I never do pots and pans, and I find it easier just to, you know, since pots and pans are so bulky, I think it's just easier to just wash them in the sink and be done with it. But as far as dishes go, dishes, silverware, glasses, that type of thing, dishwasher does, is, you know, because basically a dishwasher is just sort of a kind of a self-contained pressure washer for dishes. You know, you think of a pressure washer, well, that's basically what it is, but it's a, you know, it's in a kind of a small environment that you put the dishes in with the soap, and there you go. The other part of it is to use the right soap, you know, which I would use Cascade, which is a brand of you know, dishwasher detergent. But, you know, and then there's this other product called Jet Dry, and now they've got them combined. I don't know if they're still selling those little Jet Dry basket things that you would hang on the top rack. I don't know if they still sell those or not, but So what I buy, you know, are the, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like, it almost looks like a little candy bar and a little plastic thing. So I, you know, get that and tear it and put it in there. And it's got, you know, it's kind of like a, it's got a little ball embedded. And I think the little ball is the jet dry portion. And so that worked perfectly, you know, but, yep, I can understand, you know, if you get the rubber gets damaged, however it would get damaged. Now, I guess it could get damaged if you had a knife or something that somehow poked a hole in it. Yeah, you know, but otherwise, it's either going to be from age or it's going to be some kind of an animal. And in my case, it was... it was some sort of animal that caused the problem. And actually, dishwashers are pretty easy to, install. There's not a whole lot to it. It's kind of like a clothes dryer. There's not a whole lot to them. You know, the standard clothes dryer. They're fairly simple. As long, you know, and I prefer them, you know, when it comes, like I say, to appliances, I prefer to just get them manually controlled. You know, they've got the manual, kind of the tried and true manual controls, mechanical timers. And those things usually will last and last and last. And, so they'll probably outlast the motors or the pumps. So those are the kinds of appliances that I try to get. But my dishwasher that I have right now is 26 years old. Should I think about replacing it? I don't know. It still works perfectly. As long as it's working, I think I'll probably just go ahead and continue to use it. Because I don't know that 26 years later that the appliances that are available now, what kind of, you know, are there any really good dishwasher models? Kind of like the, a few years ago I got that Speed Queen washer, and I specifically looked, you know, and I was, ended up getting the one, they had a model that has a mechanical timer. That's the one I wanted. So I specifically, but I was looking for something that was, you know, sort of built very heavily, very reliably, and that's true with the Speed Queen washer. So I don't know if there's a equivalent of that for dishwashers. If I think about it, I might kind of start looking, but... like I say, the one I have is, there was nothing fancy about it. And yet, even in 1995, it was probably considered sort of a low-tier model. But the thing has, you know, worked great all this time. Still works. So anyway, thank you, Joel, again. Hope everyone... having a great Christmas day. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I will catch you later.
Have we seen...
Wrong button.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.